Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out the best Pelicans analysis other than here. Of course, it's Thursday, start of All-Star weekend pretty much here in New Orleans, but the bigger story than that right now is the Pelicans just wrapped up their four-game road trip with a 3-1 record. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies again on the road last night, 95-91, a tough win. They did have a big lead at up to 18 at one point. It got whittled away in the fourth quarter where they were heavily outplayed by the Memphis Grizzlies. They managed to hold them off, though, came up with some clutch defensive plays at the end, got just enough offense at the end, and managed to eke out a win to go 3-1 on that road trip. Really could have been 4-0 to at least remain in this race for the eighth seed in the Western Conference. They didn't really make up any ground going 3-1, which is disappointing and pretty rough when you really think about it, but at least they managed to stay in there as we hit the All-Star break. The trade deadline's coming up in just about a week or so, so they still have time to make a move, maybe get themselves over the hump. We'll talk about that here today on Locked On Pelicans. We'll recap the game for you. There's some interesting things to take away from there as we get set for All-Star weekend in New Orleans. And with it being All-Star weekend here in New Orleans, there's a lot of events going on, whether it's practice, the Rising Stars game with USA versus the world, which Buddy Hield's playing in. There's the All-Star Saturday night, which is a lot of fun, includes the dunk contest, the three-point shootout, and the skills challenge, which our own Anthony Davis is going to be participating in. And then you have the actual game itself on Sunday. A lot of things you can go to and check out, and the best way to do that is through SeatGeek. You guys have heard me mention it here on the podcast before. I use it personally to go to Saints games. I used it to go to the Sugar Bowl. It's the best way to find tickets. It's a ticket aggregator. You ever use a site like Kayak before? It's going to just pull all the data from all these other sites. You only need to go to one place. They have a simple app that's easy to use to see the tickets you want. The best prices are listed on there. Not only that, they rate it. They rate the tickets on a scale, letting you know what the best deal is. It makes your life so much easier. I've just gotten so accustomed to using it. Honestly, that's my go-to now when it comes to tickets for any event, whether it's a sporting event, a Pelicans game for friends. We've used them for a friend's bachelor party before to get a big group of seats. You can use it for concerts, whatever it is. SeatGeek is the way to go. And for Locked On Pelicans listeners, we actually have a deal out there for you. If you go download the SeatGeek app, whether it's from the Google Play Store, the iTunes Store, wherever you get your apps at, download it to your phone. Go open it up, go to settings, enter promo code, and put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans. SeatGeek's going to send you a $20 rebate for the first purchase you make using that promo code. Get some money back for the event you already want to go to. Go see Buddy Hield in the Rising Stars Challenge. That game is so much fun. I'm going to be there myself. So it's coming up soon. You got to act fast. But SeatGeek is the way to do it. Like I said, you always want to be there in person. You never know when something fun's going to happen, some exciting moment. And it's always better to see that in person, to see the great players in the NBA in person. So download the SeatGeek app today, put in the promo code LOPELICANS, and make sure you get in on any live action that you want. So the win in Memphis last night, bit of an interesting game. Pels started off very, very slow. Then Solomon Hill was really the catalyst in this one. getting the team going. He actually had a season high 23 points. He was 4 of 6 from three. When he was looking to make shots that weren't three, he was trying to drive to the rim. And I said in yesterday's podcast, the Pels need to have good shot selection in this game. So three pointers or shots in the paint, and really ideally at the rim in the restricted area. And that's what they did last night. Memphis is going to kill you if you take those long mid-range shots. Pels didn't do that, largely due to Solomon Hill kind of getting them going. And then the other guy who kind of took over from that was Drew Holiday, who was living at the rim pretty much all night. He took 13 attempts. Only three of them were long twos, basically. Either it was a three or it was going to be at the rim. He has shown a little bit of extra quickness and using his body to create separation as he goes to the rim to try and get an easy score, and it's been working. He's had a bit of, I guess, he's playing at an all-star level over the past 10 games or so when he's been playing incredibly, incredibly well. Tonight he got in some foul trouble, but he still managed to finish with 19 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Those fouls, some called on him early in the fourth, were really awful. All on one ref who it sounds like was a rookie ref in the NBA. So not the best showing from that guy. But anyway, besides that point, Holiday recently, there's been a change in his style of play in his game, and it's largely his aggressiveness. And you guys have heard me talk about this on here, and I've mentioned it on the radio when I'm doing different spots in New Orleans, and it's he's probing the defense less and looking to just straight go full bore to the rim, kind of in a Tyreek Evans style of play. And he did that tonight, and you see it paying off. It opens everything up so much more. He's getting higher quality looks, higher percentage looks, you know, basically everything. And that's why he's playing so incredibly well. It's just that aggressiveness, that decisiveness, not let's probe and figure out what to do here. He realizes this team needs another kind of alpha score. They need someone who can just go and get a bucket when the Pelicans need it. And Drew Holiday recently has been that guy for this team. A surprise last night was also Alexi Ajinsa. He played 34 and a half minutes, had 12 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double for him. I don't know if it's the Pelicans trying to showcase him or if it was just they needed, you know, another center with Terrence Jones out. They weren't really trusting Mata Yunus in the starting lineup, though I like what I saw out of him last night. But Ajinsa went out there and played hard. He grabbed rebounds. One of the two he had offensively, he grabbed away from three Memphis guys that took a step back, shot it, went in, and it looked good. And it was tremendous effort on his part. He played his butt off last night. It's nice to see that kind of energy. To contrast that, though, I want to mention the line that Brook Lopez had last night for the Brooklyn Nets. And this is a guy who's been subject to trade talks, particularly, you know, being linked to the Pelicans here. And he posted, I forget the exact numbers, I don't have them in front of me right now, I'm sorry. He put up, I think it was, I'm trying to find it, there we go. 36 points, 6 made threes, 4 rebounds, 8 blocks on 60% shooting in basically the same amount of minutes that Ajinsa played. He and Davis would be a terrifyingly effective front court. It would be a lot of fun to watch. It would improve the Pelicans' offense, and you can see the rim protection is really there from him. If you're going to play Ajinsa 36 minutes, yeah, it makes sense to trade for Brook Lopez and bring him in, especially if it's only going to be a protected first-round pick in 2018. Additionally, in this game, it was really well coached by Alvin Gentry, and you got to give him credit, even though he's been, you know, kind of under fire all year long. This was a winnable game for the Pelicans, but they had to play a style that really wasn't normally the style they play. They only had 6 fast break points all game. They didn't get much from the bench. They just knew they had to take smart shots. They needed to try and connect on those threes to really do it. This, you know, the grinded out style of Memphis, good defense. They're going to get back. They're not really going to let you score in transition. This team came out, controlled the ball, was smart with the ball, 12 turnovers, that's it. Took good shots. It led to the Pelicans shooting from the field almost 50%, 49.3, compared to Memphis shooting 37.1. Memphis took a lot of long twos. came out. You know, this doesn't exactly play to the Pelicans' strength. They're not particularly the highest with basketball IQ, but they went out, didn't make bad passes, didn't cause too many turnovers on their side, got to the rim knowing what they needed to do. You know, at times it started to fall apart in the fourth quarter when Memphis mounted the comeback and cut into that lead, and they started to get rattled, but a good timeout by Alvin Gentry in the fourth quarter when the lead had been cut to, I think it was one. Pels come out. Solomon Hill hits an open three. Anthony Davis hits a jumper on the next possession. And boom, you're back up and have at least a bit of a more than a 1 point cushion. So good job by them knowing exactly what they needed to do to beat this Memphis team. Pels were 0 for their last seven against Memphis, though all of the games, the past three at least, have gone to overtime, so they've been competitive. Pels needed to get this one to end their road trip and try and go into the All-Star break with some momentum. So let's jump back to the trade rumors and switch gears after the Pelicans won against Memphis. Like I said, very good win, needed that. Though I don't think they're still quite in playoff contention. Again, you go 3-1 on a road trip and you don't really gain any ground. It's just tough. Denver, you know, looks good still. Portland making the trade for Nurkic gives him kind of an edge. He's had a pretty good debut for him last night. So it'll remain to be seen. You're going to have to find out what happens to the Pelicans when they come out of the All-Star break. But going into the All-Star break and this weekend, especially here in New Orleans, you're going to hear a lot of trade chatter. So I want to touch on Jahlil Okafor really quickly, rejoining the 76ers after being held out and basically making it seem as if a deal was done. There were a couple reports today about Brian Colangelo and the speculation from other GMs regarding that. So to give you an update on that sort of thing, you know, while he was held out and it made it seem like a trade was imminent, largely, I think it sounds like, and this was over on The Ringer, and I forget who wrote it, otherwise I would give him credit, but it's on The Ringer. They were talking about how it was a ploy, that maybe no deal was that close to being done. It doesn't sound like there were actually that many offers on there. You can kind of figure it when you look at all the leaks coming out of Philly regarding this deal, that it's all coming from the Philly side to potentially try and drum up interest. And, you know, around this time of year, a lot of teams tend to negotiate a little bit through the media. So holding him out maybe sounds like it was designed to basically make it seem like a trade was done and to get people to come out with really good offers all of a sudden because they felt they were going to miss out on Okafor. So maybe make the Pelicans think the deal with the Bulls was finished or that a deal with the Pelicans was finished and force the Bulls to make an increased or better offer. And it doesn't really work when there's actually not that much interest in a player. And it sounds like, if I had to guess, talks with Philly, at least league-wide when it comes to Okafor, have cooled off some. Who knows if that's true when it comes to the Pelicans. You know, they're notoriously tight-lipped on trade deals. Things don't really leak out from them. But it sounds like that was a bit of a ploy. You know, I got a lot of questions about it being like, does this mean a deal's done? The Pels, it's dead in the water for the Pels. Means we don't really know anything yet, but it sounds like the good news if you're the Pelicans is it doesn't have that many suitors. Philly doesn't have a ton of leverage here, and the Pels might be able to give up maybe worse protection. It's top 10 protected instead of top 7, the 2018 pick, should they be looking to make a deal with him. And now the hard work for the Pelicans really begins, because what happens over the next 8, 9, 10 days is really going to decide how the rest of the season goes. If they are unable to make a deal and they can't bring in the offensive-minded center, or maybe there's a wild card out there and we're not even aware of it, you know, they have to probably be exploring every option. Likely playoffs are out, but they're also still enough in games and competitive that you're likely not looking at, you know, maybe the 6th, 7th, 8th pick versus a top 5 pick in the draft. And, you know, if they can't get a deal done with one of the targets they have, maybe they look to become sellers in some capacity. And then you need to start planting the seeds for next year of re-signing Holiday, assuming he will, which hopefully is, but we've heard no indication either way. And then, you know, do they try and tank or what goes on? It's all going to be very interesting if they do make a move for, say, a Brook Lopez, a Jahlil Okafor, a Nikola Vucevic. It'll be you know, much interesting because you need to kind of redo your offense a little bit. You can't go with the small ball lineup. And the coaching staff is going to have an even harder job because if you trade for one of those guys, your defensive scheme's really going to need to change. Maybe not dramatically at first, but you're likely not going to be able to switch on absolutely everything. You might want to play, you know, focus more on inside out and take away the lane and the paint and the restricted area for opponents and make them beat you with jump shooting and three-pointers, where someone like Solomon Hill becomes even more important. And then, you know, you maybe look to add another perimeter defender at the last second of the trade deadline. Who knows, though? But these next couple of days are going to be really decisive for this team, for not just this season, but the season after next year and what they do and what their game plan is. They've done some things that have worked really well this year, but they're starting to go away from those just because, again, Davis is not someone they see as a long-term five. They'll still play, you know, the small lineup at times, but it's not going to be overall as often as it has been. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You guys know I'm going to be covering it for you here on Locked On Pelicans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, last game before the All-Star break for the Pels, they end their road trip 3-1. Could have been 4-0, but 3-1's not bad. They're at least in the playoff chase, not making up much ground. And like I said, the next couple of days are going to be very decisive for this team and the direction that they're going to head. So tomorrow I'll talk All-Star, preview the events. You know, there's something every single day for Pelicans fans to have an interest in with Buddy Hield and Anthony Davis with the three different events. Should be a lot of fun. Just enjoy it. Enjoy what's going on in the city. Try and get out if you live here. Walk around downtown. Take a look at everything and see what's going on. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.